sure do appreciate you playing the piano like you do. I wish I could do that. You know, it's you got gifts in the church, and they just so they're real good at it. You know, just what they do. Brother Tony, he's just kind of a multi hat guy. You know, if you have a hat rack on his house, he would take all the walls and all the rooms to cover all the hats that he wears. You know, and I think he does a pretty good job at it. Don't you? Mm-hmm. Sure appreciate that. I think I'd let you guys be seated if you'd like to, and appreciate the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord with you this evening. And don't have anything tremendous. Yeah, that's what Brother Tony's for. And just a little simple thought we want to give to you tonight. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Let's go to Psalms chapter 8. I didn't give the young ladies the scripture this evening, and I do apologize for that, but I think she can probably find it pretty quickly. I do count it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord, and I love to be a Christian. You know, I love to have a desire to serve the Lord. And, you know, for a person to have that in this day, in any day, especially today, is a wonderful thing, to have a desire to want to serve God, not out of obligation, not out of a bunch of rules, but it's just a love for God. And it's a desire, it's a true desire to be with him. And I think about, you know, my wife, why in the world would she want to be with me? You know, and just a desire for her to love me. And I'm sure any man feels that way about his wife that loves him. And, you know, when I look at God, that's so much even greater than her. God is the greatest of all things, that he could have had anybody to worship him. And he could have had anybody that he would choose to utilize. But for some reason, he chose man. And I'm sure just thankful for it. Yes. Let's read. We're going to read the whole chapter, Psalms chapter 8. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Amen.
Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the word that we read. Lord, as we've heard the prophet say many times, that we can now close our Bible and we can go home. And we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord, because your word has been written. It's been read, Lord. And Lord, written in our hearts, Lord, as we've read them, Lord. And I'm asking you that you would just touch our hearts tonight, that you would visit us, Lord. We know that it takes you, Lord, to come on the scene. You're the one that gives life, Lord. We just ask you to come and visit with us just for a little bit of time this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. What is it that causes man to want to, or God to want to come down to talk to man and visit man? And, you know, when he created the animals, he created the birds, he created, you know, the whales, he created everything that he did. And, you know, there's it's just amazing if you can just look at the creation that God created, the things that he'd done, and just forget about what's in the world, but just go to nature and look at nature, and there's something pure about it. And that's what I love about going to Honduras, or especially in Honduras, and even deep into Nicaragua. You know, there's been times when I've gone by the grace of God, and you'd go deep into the jungles, and you go to a land that you've never seen before, and you'll see trees that you've never seen before, and, you know, you'll see pictures of monkeys and things like that, and parrots and things, and stores. And it's another thing when you actually go into the wilderness and into the wild, and you actually see them in a tree. You see a monkey in his nature. That's where God called him to be, is in that tree, you know, and he's doing what he does best. You know, I think a monkey does a real good job at being a monkey. Right. You know, that's just what he is. He don't try to put nothing on. He don't try to act like nothing different. He's a monkey, and he's glad to be a monkey. You know, and you look at the birds, they don't try to be nothing else. They just be a bird. And, you know, they're out and they're free. And I think that's what really speaks to my heart when I see it, is they're free. They're out there. They're not trying to be nothing put on. They're just being what they are. And when you go to a zoo and you'll see the same animal, you'll see the same monkey, the kind of monkey, you'll see the same kind of bird, you'll see the same kind of animals, but because they're in a cage somewhere, it's the exact same animal, but they look so defeated on the inside. And when you look at their eyes, there's a feeling that you can feel the bondage of that. And people will be there taking their pictures, and they'll say, oh, it's a beautiful thing, it's a wonderful thing, look how beautiful this animal is, and the little cage, and he'll prance back and forth, and the poor guy is trapped. Mm-hmm. He's bound. And, you know, and it's a sad thing to look at that in. You know, I've been, I wouldn't say the word privileged, but I've had the opportunity to go to jails and see a person behind prison and see a man that's bound, and you can see his hands are down and you can see that he's bound. It's a man, and it reminds me of looking at those animals that are walking in the cage, and they're bound. There's something about them when you see them, and that's the way man was. Man was bound. We were born in this life bound. We were born defeated in our flesh. We were born running a race that we had no chance to win. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were born with an ability to automatically go in the way of the world. But for some reason, why would it be that God had something on the inside of him that had a heart for man? God looked down through the eternity of his mind and saw that out of all the creation that I can go save, of all the animals that I can see, you've got dogs that'll be trapped. And people will trap these dogs, and they'll actually go down the street and catch a dog, and they'll put them in a cage, and they'll make them fight one another. And it's for entertainment. It's something to save them. And you look at that. Why don't God go save the dogs? Why don't he go save them? Why don't God go save the whales if it was to be? But what was it? God saw man. There was something inside man that God saw, and God had a desire to fellowship with him, to talk with him. And you know, as I was talking about seeing somebody in a prison cell, and you can see from the looks of their eyes that they're bound. There's something there. There's something worse than seeing a man in a prison cell. It's someone that actually goes to church. And you can tell by looking in their eyes. You can tell by talking to them, they are bound. They're not free. And you know, it's a sad thing to see somebody that can be free, but they choose not to be free. And God has given an opportunity. God has given a provided way where we can be free, where we can walk in the Spirit of God, where we can have happiness, we can have joy, we can have the fruit of the Spirit, we can be happy. You say amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Boy, you don't look very happy when you said that. You know, it's something about it that whenever you get the fruit of the Spirit, it makes you happy. You know, whenever that little grandbaby comes in the house, you can be in the saddest mood all day and let that baby come in the room and turn it. Look, it can make the goofiest look you could ever imagine. You're going to smile. Why? There's something about that baby that brings a love out of you.
Amen. That's right.
And I believe that we have something to make us happy. God has given us. And you know, that's something the devil tries so hard to do, is to take happiness out of the Christian. And I don't know why the Lord... Let's just leave me right down this arrow, but let's just go with it.
Yes.
The devil tries so hard to take the people that have the most opportunity to be the happiest people on earth, and he will make them the saddest people on earth that you've ever seen. And you know what? Sadness is a chain. It is a bondage. It is a depression that can come on a person to where you're just not happy. We live in America in an age where you can have every opportunity that you could possibly imagine that would make a person happy, but we live in the age when there's less happiness than there's ever been. There's, you know, back in the day when they would have to pack the water, and they would go to the well, and they'd take a cold bath, they'd have to heat it up, they'd do this, they'd say, if I had hot water, I would be happy. And whenever I said, you know what, it's so hot in here, it's so miserable, in the church, in the car, at the house, there's no air, there's no cool air, it's hot, I'm sweaty. If I had air conditioning, I would be happy. If we could just get air conditioning in the church, in my vehicle, I would go to church in the middle of the summertime, it don't matter, I will go.
And they'll get the air conditioner, and they may go for a little while, and it pulls away. And then happiness goes away. If I can only get this phone, the new phone, the newest one, if I can get it, I will be happy. This will be it. This is what I need. You get the new phone.
Right.
You'll be happy for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then you're sad all over again. If I can only get this house, I need the big house. If I get the big house, I'll be happy. That's what I need. I'll be happy. You'll get the house. You're happy for a little while, and you're sad all over again.
That's right.
If I can go to the ocean, that's what I need. I've got to go to the ocean. If I can go to the ocean, I'll be happy. I will be happy if I get to the ocean. You go to the ocean, and while you're there, on the way there, you got your flip-flops on. You've got your swim trunks on. You ladies, you know the dresses. Your boy, your men, we don't do those things. We wear men. If you're a Christian, you don't. You'll wear pants.
Right.
Praise the Lord anyhow.
Amen.
Whenever you're going, you're on your way to the airplane or on your way to the vehicle. You got your bags packed. You're happy. Why? I'm going to the ocean. You go to the ocean. You're happy. You're spending that credit card. You're happy. And then you get home. You're happy. And then all of a sudden it goes down, 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 and no longer you're not happy no more. And then you're chasing a new happiness.
That's right.
And that's exactly what the devil will do, not just in denominations, right in the Message Church, brother and sister. The devil will chase it where you are constantly chasing that beach ball. If I can only get this, I'll be happy. If I can overcome this, I'll be happy. I'm in this trial. If I'll get out of this trial of my job, I'll be happy. If my husband will just do this, I'll be happy. If my wife will only fix her hair this way, I'll be happy. If my husband will lose that belly, I'll be happy. You may be happy. The list can go long. On and on and on, and you can fill in your own blank. Take your halos off. Let's pull them off and put them in our back pocket, and let's just be honest with one another. We make excuses of why we're not happy. We make excuses of why I'm not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We make excuses of why I'm not victorious. But God has made it where we can be victorious. God has given the provided way. God, man has never been made to shift for himself. We are made to be led by the Lord. God created the stars. He created everything. And you know what makes them so great? Is they're in their place. The stars are in their place. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And you know what? As I was talking about the monkey in the tree, I'm not going to call you a monkey. If you are, you're a nice looking monkey. You're a cute little monkey. Yeah? I'm not going to call you a monkey, but you know that monkey in the tree, what makes him happy, what makes him joyful, is he's doing what he's supposed to do. That monkey was created to climb in that tree and chase after bananas and tease the tigers. And he does it, and he's happy. I've watched these videos before where he'll reach down and grab that tiger by the tail, and he'll grab up there, and you can just see the grin on his face. He's like a possum eating chicken. He's just happy as can be. That monkey is happy. Why? Because he's doing what God called him to do. He's where God called him to be. He's not trying to do nothing else. And listen to what I'm saying. A child and daughter of God, whenever you're serving God, whenever you are doing what God called you to do, you'll be the happiest. Whenever you're walking in the Word, you will be the happiest. You know why you're not happy? You're not walking in the Word. You're not feeding on the Word, eating the revelation. The thing that differentiates a Message Church and what we call a Message Church and the denominations is we have the Word. So it's understandable why a denomination can do that, but it makes absolutely no sense for somebody in the Message that has the Message, the Word of God, to not be happy, to not be working in victory. Because you know what? We'll look at denomination and it's a short-lived victory. Oh, they shout, they dance, they're happy. But they never preach the Word. And we can look at that and say, you know what? If they would only be in the Message, they'd be happy like us. Oh boy, but Daniel, you're really getting into it now. Sometimes you look at somebody in the denomination and they've got more happiness than we do. You look at it and they ain't even got the Word. The fullness of the Word. My goodness, what if we had both of them? Brother Branham talked about how that David would kill Goliath, how that Shamgar would go out and kill all the enemy. He talked about all the victories that they would do, how Samson would rip the gates off the city. They did that under the blood of bulls and goats. We got the blood of Jesus. How much more happiness should we be? You know what? How would you like to get up and go do a burnt offering every morning before going to work? You know, I used to get up early in the morning, have to go break ice in the pond and feed the cows. And I took quite a bit of pride because it made me feel like I was 16 years old. I felt like I was really doing something. And I could go to school and I could honestly say, I've already fixed fence, broke ice, and fed the cows. You know, it made me feel good. It was something about me. How would you like to get up every morning and do a burnt offering? And then just have to go do it again just for it to substitute your sin. I'll take it away. Just cover it up. The blood of Jesus Christ has come to set you free, to absolutely break you free. And the devil has a way to take our remembrance away from what has God done in my life? What has God done? Brother Brenham talked about the little kid in the store with his mama. She was waving toys in front of him, doing this and doing this and doing this, grabbed this and grabbed a bell and shunned me, and the kid just stood there and looked in empty space. And the woman broke down crying, and they said, oh, and everyone tried to comfort her, said, what's wrong? She said, he's not getting better. He's not getting better. I said, what are you talking about? Said, the doctor says he's getting better, but he's not. Everything that's being shaken in front of that kid should be things to excite that kid.
Right.
But it wasn't exciting. And God has shook. Remember, we talked about the ocean. We talked about this. We talked about that. Things that should excite a person. Oh, we'll stimulate you for a little while. But God has shaken so many things in front of the church. Shake, 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 shake. A thing that should get your attention, get us excited. But it's because it's happened so much, it gets common.
Right.
It gets common to us. And that's where these tent meetings are coming up. We got these tent meetings. And I'm not trying to bash tent meetings. I think they can be great as long as they preach the word right. But you'll have these tent meetings and they'll have that emotion. And you know what? You know why they have the outpouring of the Spirit like they do and the feelings that they do? It's because everybody comes expecting. Not just 5 minutes before service, weeks ahead. They're saying, on this, the Spirit of God is going to move. On this day, the Spirit, oh, it's going to be awesome. And you know what they're doing? They're speaking the word. They're preaching the word. They're believing the word. And this night, oh, you wait till Thursday night. You wait till Friday night. The Spirit of God's going to move like never before. Their expectation is there. And because their expectation, their motivation, all these different things, they're speaking the word, putting it towards that. And when service comes, every person is focusing because they are expecting a move of God. They are expecting an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And because they come expecting God to touch them, they get touched.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them.
Right.
Some of them get touched by something. But brother and sister, it's because they expect it. And I'm telling you what, you want a touch from the Lord in a service, you have to come expecting God
right.
to touch me in a service.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because you will get what you expect. If you expect Brother Daniel to be a little fuddy-dud or Brother Tony to be a fuddy-dud, guess what you're going to see? A fuddy-dud. And the whole time, Brother Tony can have a diamond. But because you're expecting to see a fuddy-dud, you see a fuddy-dud. Brother and sister, what is it? What is it about man that God would be mindful of him? That God would come down and stoop into our level and want to fellowship with him? And I'm going to give you just a little testimony of something, of when I saw what the Lord done in my life, because it was something that was real. And I think we need to go back and look at something that was real in our life. Whenever I was probably 12 years old, I knew that there was a God somewhere. I knew that there was a God that would move. I seen God in the trees. I seen God in the cows. I seen God do all these different things. But where in the world is God for me? And I remember, brother and sister, that I let that depression get upon me so strong and didn't even realize it. Because a lot of times when you're little, you don't even know what depression is. People can say depression. What's a depression? I've never heard of it. I didn't realize, but it was a depression that was on me that was so heavy and so dark. And I remember we'd go to Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I'd say, you know, maybe this is the answer. Go there, and just you could not answer the answer. I think I've told you many times that the Sunday school teacher really gave me the what for, because I told her I didn't think a woman was supposed to cut her hair. But I remember I was under such a dark depression, brother and sister, so dark. I remember I had a little Bible that had Jesus on it and had kids all around him. And I remember I would look at that Bible and I was like, I don't understand it. I tried to read and I didn't quite understand it. But I remember I'd read about the fish and all the creations that God would do. But I remember I had the Bible. But I had this darkness that was on me so strong that it drove me to go to my mom and my dad's room. And I got a pistol. And I put a bullet in it. And I stood there. I stuck that pistol to my head. And I said, what in the world am I living for? My parents fight all the time. There's no happiness. What's the point? And I sat there and I stuck my finger on the trigger. And I tried squeezing that trigger as hard as I could. And I could not get that gun to go off. And I felt God tell me, I've got a purpose for you. And brother and sister, you would think that there would be lightning come down. You would think that there would be some kind of warm oil come down. There was nothing to come down. And you would think, Brother Daniel, I bet from that moment on you felt better. No, I didn't. I went back to my bedroom, and I said, God, why in the world do I feel this way? And weeks later, my dad said, who in the world got in there and got that pistol and put a bullet in it and stuck that hammer back? And I just said, look at David Lee, my little brother. I've tried to say, you know what? I may as well quit. I can't overcome this. I'm in a family that doesn't believe. I tried going to church. They don't have the answer. I tried to do a Boy Scout, and it wasn't the answer. What's the answer? And I went, brother and sister, I went on down a little bit more time period, and I got around the age of 15 years old. And again, that devil come back again. And I want you to remember, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but listen to what I'm saying. That suicidal spirit will come back. And that suicidal spirit come back to me again where I felt so depressed and I wore these baggy jeans. I had the piercings. And I was the biggest dork you ever saw. But I thought I was plumb cool. But because I took on the image of that, my family started accusing me of being doing drugs. And they started calling me a dope head. They said, you know what, he's a dope head. He does this. And they were ridiculing me to the point where I said, you know what? What is the point? I went into the bedroom and I grabbed a handful of pills and I took the pills and I tried to kill myself. And while I did this, I went to a trance where Brother Graham talked about. I went through the same thing in myself. I felt like I was falling and it was pitch black. It was dark and it felt like the more I would try to reach out and grab, I couldn't get a hold of anything. And I just kept falling further, further and further and further and further. And so next thing I knew, it's like everything just went completely black. And I saw myself walking down a hill. And I had some friends with me. And my friends were going through and we were laughing, we were cutting up. But my friends started, we were walking the same pace. But they started leaving me behind. And the harder I tried to walk to catch up with them, I couldn't keep up with them. And I tried harder and my friends left. And I was all alone. And I was standing in the street, and I started screaming as loud as I could, and nobody could hear my cries. And I realized right then, my friends, the people I was hanging around, they were going to get me into a lot of trouble, and it was going to leave me all alone. When I finally come to in the hospital, they were trying to pump my stomach, pulling stuff out of my belly, trying to get the pills out of me, and I was asking, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Because I thought they were being mean to me. I felt so depressed, so scared, so beat down. What is it about man that God is mindful of? Why didn't God just throw me away? Why didn't God just say, you know what, you're done? It's because I was one of God's. And God chose me before the foundation of the world. And he said, though you may try to wreck your life, you may try to run everything, you may try to throw the towel in. I tried. I tried to quit. I said, you know what? I quit. I gave it my best. I gave it my all. I quit. You can't quit. Because God's the one that called you.
Right.
God's the one doing the pulling. God's the one that's got a purpose for you. Time goes on, and I make my mistake. You're Dylan. He's not a mistake. I'm the mistake. And whenever we did that, brother and sister, it looked like my life was over. His life is over. I've made it a mess. And I had everybody that would point to me, Christian people, I would be sitting on a bench, and they walk by and they say, this guy right here is a guy that ruined his life, ruined that kid's life. You should be ashamed of yourself. And walked off. Preacher. I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, what am I supposed to do? My life is in absolute shambles now. I'm 15 years old. Actually 16 years old. I have absolutely run my life. The devil will look at that and say, you know what? You may as well quit. You've blown it up. You messed everything up. For us, we can look back at that and say, all we can see is mistake, 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 mistake. Look at what you've done. You may as well quit. But it wasn't me in control of my life. It was God. In the midst of that, brother and sister, what I'm showing you is the devil will take what you have that looks like absolute chaos, because I was out of my place. I was a son of God all the time. I was a child of God all the time, but I was not in my place. And you could look at me and say, yeah, he's out of his place. You could evidently look at a boy with cigarettes, drinking alcohol, and doing that. It don't take a big microscope to say, yep, he's out of his place. You could look at that. Does it take very big eyes to see that? You could see it. But you know what? That guy that was bound by those things, if you are not walking in victory in the Lord, and you've got God in your heart, and you're fellowshipping with God, you're just as bound as that boy that's sitting on the sidewalk or sitting on the bench. If you don't have that peace of God in your heart. We serve a God of peace. You know, we talk about gods. You know, talk about cars. That's the God of all cars. Well, it's the God of all cars because it's like the car of all cars. This is the God of this. Why? Because it's the best of the... We serve the God of peace. It's not minor pieces, this piece. He is the God of peace. He's the one that created the peace. He is the God of peace. And we can serve. We serve a God like that. We serve a God that can give us a peace on the inside that doesn't come with money. You could be absolutely dead broke, and you probably have more peace than anybody. The guy that has rich has a lot of money. I found myself falling deeper and deeper and deeper. And I said, you know what? I may as well quit. What am I going to do? And I had two trucks. I worked all the time. I had a 79 Ford Courier that I was proud of. Now, you know, you think about that. 79 Ford Courier. This 17 Ford Escape with air conditioning. Mine didn't have air conditioning. It was so old that the floor was so bad that I had to put floor mats in it just to cover the ground. Then I had a 91 Ford Ranger. And I worked hard. Worked two full-time jobs. Went to high school. Got out of high school at about 11:45. I went to my first job at Atwoods. I worked from 12 o'clock afternoon to 8 o'clock at night. Clocked out. Went to Taco Bell. Clocked in at 9 o'clock and worked till 1 o'clock in the morning. And then I had to get up the next morning. I went to school. I did it over and over and over and over again. And I was working really hard, and I had lots of anger, and I started going to the gym. I said, you know what? I'm going to take it out on the gym. And I started working out, and oh, boy, I beat that bag to pieces, Malachi. I'd lift those weights. I thought I was strong. I said, I finally found it. This is what's going to give me my peace. This is what gives me my victory. I'm accepted now. I'd lift those weights, and I'd reach to the point where I walked into the room, I wanted attention on my muscles. Oh, I've got it. I would dedicate all my time. And I remember my mom, who didn't practice real strong Christianity, she did the best she could. She had a CD called Wow.
You ever heard this, the Wild CD, Sister Lit? Anna's laughing back there. Said, yep, I know. She gave me those CDs, and she gave me the best thing that she knew to give. She said, here, and my mom would always do things. She'd always give me a Ziploc bag full of quarters, nickels, and pennies, and dimes, and she'd give the best that she had. And I appreciated it. But she gave me this CD, and she said, listen to this. I was like, I ain't listening to that. I'd listen to my heavy metal music, and it'd be so loud, the you couldn't even hear, you couldn't hear the lyrics. Just turn that off and listen to the lyrics, and you go, bah, 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 bah. That's literally the lyrics of what it is. I was going from the gym, and I reached for that CD, and it was so scratched up that it was skipping on the radio, and it was even worse than it was. So I got that out, and I said, I got to listen to something. I reached over there, and I grabbed that Wow CD, and I stuck that CD inside there. And I remember where I was at in Poto. I was by a body shop, and I stuck that CD on, and I felt something I had never felt before. It was the Spirit of God come down. It was so strong inside that building, inside that little car, truck that I had going down the road. And I remember I cried like a baby going down the road. And I said, oh, God, this is it. I finally found it. I thought it was this. I thought it was that. I thought it was that. I felt that Spirit. I said, oh, my God, this is it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I was shouting going down the road because all I got was the Spirit to come down. I said, this is it. And I heard they had a play playing Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. I said, I got to go because I felt that thing come down. And I'm here to tell you, I wore that CD out. I play that on and I just shout and I praise the Lord. I couldn't tell you a thing about the Bible, but by God, I could tell you about this Spirit and this feeling that I was feeling. I went to this Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And it was an awesome put together skit. They got my attention anyway. And at the end of the service, they said, anybody, and I'm sitting in the back. I'm like, okay, God, I want to give my heart to you. I know I felt this. I want to give my heart to you, God. What do I do? What do I do? I want to do it, God. I'm ready to run. You tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. And I sit there and I listen. And they said, anybody that wants to give your heart to God, come down now. And I'm like, I remember, brother and sister, I walked down there and I was like, yes, I'm going to give my heart to God. I'm finally going to get it. And I went there and the preacher said, hey, you kids, come go talk to them. Preacher didn't even come talk to me. Sent kids down to me and said, what's your name? I said, Daniel Black. And I'm crying and tears going down my face. He said, what's your name? Daniel Black. Okay. Where do you live at? Okay. God bless you. And I stood there. I said, who's going to pray with me? What's going to happen? What after this? I said, that's it. That's as simple as it is. And I left that building there, brother and sister, and I was like, that's it? Is that all there is to this? Is this all there is to be? And it was a turnoff to me. I'm going to show you something that I've learned, something that the Lord has given to show me through selling cars. A lot of times whenever you're selling a car and you tell them the price and they say, no, I ain't doing that. And a lot of people try to go to a cheaper car. They can say, you know what? They said they don't want to spend that much. And they're doing the wrong thing. They don't want a cheaper car. Some people do. What you need to show them is something with better quality. Because it's not that they are not willing to spend that price on this car. They're not willing to spend that price on that car. But if you can show a car that's got 10 times the more quality, they will sacrifice 10 times much, much more because they want that better quality. And that's exactly what Christianity has become. People say people won't commit themselves to the Lord if you do this. So we have to bring the standard down a little bit. And when you bring the standard down a little bit, this is the quality car that you get. No, you don't need to drop the standard. Raise the standard. Because whenever you raise the standard, this is what you get for sacrificing for the Lord. You get peace almighty. You get revelation. You get victory. God can take a life that's absolutely torn to pieces and put it back together again. God has given you such a 10 times more product. So you don't downsize, you upsize. And brother and sister, in the message we have, Brother Branham didn't lower the standard. So you know what? People aren't willing to sacrifice. Women aren't willing to stop cutting their hair and wearing breeches. You know, men are not willing to stop doing this. He didn't say, you know what? We're going to have to downsize it just a little bit. What did Brother Branham do? He upsized it. What did Jesus do? He upsized it. They said, if you sleep with your neighbor's wife, you're an adulterer.
You kill your neighbor, you're a murderer. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. If you hate him without a call, you got a hate in you, you murdered him. Jesus raised the standard.
That's right.
He didn't lower it. And brother and sister, what it is people don't see the benefit that I get from doing that. And that's where Christians in this world have let down the standard. Because we're saying, why don't you come follow this message? That way you can have this happiness like I've got. You should be happy like me. And you can look at them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, take them to the ocean, get back from the ocean. Because there's no consistency whatsoever of happiness. The only thing that makes them happy is a fleshly advantage. But brother and sister, what is it that God is mindful of man that God can come down and you'll have another person, it don't matter what they're going through, got a step. One of them. I was going through the showroom yesterday and I was whistling to the Lord. I was praising the Lord and someone said, I don't know why in the world you're whistling. Do you see the board? I've got 2 cards out for the month. I said, why in the world are you whistling? You've got 2 cards out for the month. That's because I'm top of the board.
You think I'm bad? Look at them.
I said, I'm not happy because of cars, because I know my God will meet every single need that I have. My God is so mindful of me. I love it when I get in situations like this, because you know what? I sent a video the other day. You had a little kid sitting in a car seat, and someone had a cracker, and they stuck that cracker right there, and that little kid didn't even know it was coming. He just went like this. That kid didn't doubt for a second. He knew when I stick my hand back there, the cracker will be there. And time after time, that kid would lay there. Didn't question one single bit. He just lay in a car seat, goo goo ga ga, and grabbed the cracker. That baby is an absolute confidence. My God is going to take care of me. My mama, my daddy is going to take care of me. They take their position just as sure as that monkey in a tree or that bird in the tree. That baby is being just a baby, and he said, goo goo gaga, I got a mom and daddy that's going to meet every single need that I have need of. His biggest worry is how quick he's going to change his diaper, you know. We got to have that same confidence where we have that same confidence of realizing my confidence is not in anything that I can do. I'm going to fail. That's a proven fact. Who could agree with that? Now, you too, not just Brother Daniel. We will fail. In ourself, we will fail. But God won't. And that means even with 2 cars, God will come right down and he will provide. And this is the thing. Breeden Dodge is not Brother Daniel's provider. They're just blessed.
Amen. That's right.
Because when Brother Daniel leaves, the Spirit of God leaves. Now, if Brother Daniel loses the Spirit of God, then that's a different story. But we got to have the Word. You know, that's the thing. It's the Word that makes us blessed. Very important. Remember that part. But it's not Breeden Dodge that meets my needs. It's God that meets my needs. It's God that provides. So my confidence is not looking at the ocean or my cars on the board. Because you know, I'll say hero to zero. You might sell 30 cars last month. But this month, you're starting zero all over again, brother and sister. And it's just as important. It's easy to praise God in the good times. I've heard the saying, you've enjoyed the good times well. Let's see how you handle the bad times. Let's see how you handle the dry times. Whenever we go to the ocean and God is good. Which one of you has to really have, come here, Biggie. I haven't used her in a while. Let's get you right in front of the big screen that everybody can see you. You know, Moses got to a point in his life where he was really doing a work of God, and he needed someone to hold his hands up. And he didn't hold his hands up. I'm not going to hold it up too high. But you know what? When she's at the ocean, do you think I got to stand here? Not my baby. I want you to praise the Lord. Give me a little praise. Do you think I got to stand there and hold her because things are going good? I just bought you a new Jeep. Let's give him a little praise. I just did this for you. Let's give him a praise. Do you think she needs my help praising the Lord at that time? No. But it's when she's in the valley. It's whenever she is like, I don't know if I can take another step. I don't know if I can do it. It's during that time, Malachi, Hannah. Oh yeah. A lot of people like to put it off on daddy. But you know what they can do? Children can do? When mama's going during the downtime, here, let me lead you. When mama's during the downtime and she's sad and she's depressed, I'm going to be Malachi for a minute. Well, we'll wait for dad to get here and dad will get mama praising the Lord again. When dad gets here, he'll have that bounce in his step and he'll start changing stuff. No. You can do that. And whenever when you as a unit start praising the Lord and working together as a family, not just waiting for daddy to get home, but you got a position where you can lift her hands up and you can say, you know what? I'm chasing darkness away. Darkness can't stay here any longer. You have victory to do that, brother and sister. And just as sure as my family and I can do this, you can do the same thing. To where you can say, you know what, that stinking devil's trying to come in and trying to take the happiness away. He's trying to take the joy away. He's trying to take this away. And you can make excuses of saying, well, this is why, this is why, this is why. No, you've got the authority that you can cast that spirit out. You can create an atmosphere where you can say, this devil is not staying here any longer. And a family that will pray together and stand together will overcome together. But you know what will happen instead? The devil, no, we haven't been doing it, but what would it? Malachi's going to stand here and feel sorry for himself. Go ahead. Doing good, buddy. Hannah, come over here. Feel sorry for yourself. You're doing good. That devil will make each person feel sorry for themselves. And they'll come up with a million reasons of why I should be depressed. I shouldn't be happy because of this. 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 And you will sit there and riddle and riddle and riddle and riddle. And you see what the devil's done? He causes a division. And he'll cause so hard in a family to cause division. Well, each person will come up with a reason why I cannot be happy. I can't praise God because of this. But you know what? Mama could come over here and say, you know what? Mama, you got some nice shoes. Hannah can say, you know what, Mama? You've got some good cooking. I've been seeing Daddy a lot. They can come together in a unit, in a family that can come together and can encourage one another, not waiting for Daddy. You do it. You encourage one another. Don't wait for the pastor. Don't wait for this person. You encourage somebody. You lift somebody up. You raise somebody's hand. You say something nice to somebody. You know what? You can be the person that changes the decision of someone committing suicide. By the little thing that you can do when you're at the gas station, whenever you're walking through that little nice thing that you can say, that little pat on the back, you can be having the worst day of your life. And just walking up and patting him on the back. Say, son, I know you ain't been lifting a lot of weight lately, but son, keep pressing. He's hard on himself because he wants to lift more weight. I could use my words to destroy him and say, you know what? You've been failing at it. But bless God. We love you anyway. I can use my words, and it's supposed to be words of encouragement. And a lot of times people's words of encouragement ain't nothing but tearing somebody down. I know you fell one. But that's all right. God loves you, son. Don't be sick. We want to encourage, but are we really encouraging one another? What is our agenda whenever we're encouraging somebody? Is it because we really want them to be happy, or are you just trying to brush them off? Brother and sister, we have the ability and the authority to encourage one another and bring a happiness over one another and a peace over one another. But if we don't use it the right way, we can use the same authority, the same abilities to cause divisions rather than lifting one another up.
This word, this mouth right here that can be used to edify somebody, can pick somebody up and say, you know what, you got this. You're going to be all right. Just pick yourself back up and keep pressing on. I'm talking about how Brother Daniel was bound. I had preachers that would come to me and try to do that exact same thing. Brother Daniel, never make it. You have messed it up. You have blew it. There was a time whenever, yep, I would have seen you. At this point, I'd have seen God use you. At this point, I'd have seen God use you. At this point, I'd see God use you. But no, you have blown it. The Lord will never do that to you. The Lord will always pick you up. The Lord will always pick you up and say, you know what? Pick up and try one more time. Praise your hands one more time. Raise your hand whenever you don't feel like praising the Lord. Praise it anyhow. And you see it, you don't start chasing that darkness away. I know for a fact I've dealt with the spirit tonight of suicide. I've dealt with it before, I've seen it before, and I know I'm dealing with it right now. There's a spirit of suicide that will come upon you, and if you keep allowing that spirit to hang around, I'm telling you, you're flirting with it. You keep playing with it, keep allowing it to be there, keep allowing it to be there, it's going to come to a point where you're just getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. That's what the devil's trying to do. But you don't have to do that. You can be free from that filthy spirit. Just as sure as Brother Daniel went to the front, he needed someone to pray with and said, Brother Daniel, I need help. They didn't have the answer. We got the answer. But God can set you free from that thing. But you have to want to be free.
That's right.
You got to want to be well. You got to want to be happy. Amen. Let's all just stand, please. Do you want to be well? I'm going to ask every head to just bow your head for just a moment, please. What is it that man is, what is it about man that God is mindful of him? God will see you, God will see man, and of all the people that he sees, he'll see all the people that are in this world. What is it? Because they've turned him, they threw their nose at him, they've thrown their hands at him. What is it about man that God is mindful of him? God saw something inside you. God placed something inside you. And you are important to God. You are important to this body. And you've got a job to do. You've got a place. You've got something to do. But you've got to step up to that plate. And you've got to be the one that does it. Because there ain't nobody else can do your place. Only you can. There's only one person that can rise up to that ability and do what God's called you to do, and only you can do that. You can't keep pushing it off and say, that's Brother Tony's job, that's Brother Daniel's job. What is your job? What is your place in the tree? With every head bowed, I'm just asking you to just be humble yourself before the Lord. You say, Brother Daniel, I know what you're talking about. I'm dealing with it. Nobody look around. Well, just lift your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm dealing with that. God sees your hand. Be honest with you. That is a depressing spirit that will bind your mind. He will continue to bind your mind. He will continue to fight you as long as you allow him. But I'm telling you, you can be free from that thing. I dealt with that spirit. I dealt with it. I know what it's like. It drove me to the point. I stuck the pistol to my head. I said, you know what? You may as well quit. And you can be free from that devil. But you got to know that devil will come back again. He will try. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, you see that the saint of God that has their hand lifted up before you. And Lord, I know, I can feel it, Lord, that spirit of depression trying to come on and just trying to close in the walls. Lord, it makes it darker and darker and darker, God. I know I felt that spirit before, Lord. And you delivered me from it, Lord. I'm asking you that you will come in this service, Lord, that you will touch that sister even right now, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, that love of God would come down into her heart and burn out that filthy, lying spirit, Lord. Because, Lord, you know it's a lying spirit. Lord, it says that, you know what, you may as well quit. You may as well throw in the towel. You may as well quit. Lord, it's a lying devil, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, the same grace that you extended down in my life, Lord. Lord, when I felt like quitting, I felt like throwing my hand down. I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Lord, you come down and you visited me, Lord, in a supernatural way, Lord, and you showed me that I'm important. You showed me that I'm a part of the body, Lord. I'm a part of the family. And Lord, and they, even though the devil told me that no one liked me, no one cared about me, it was lies. And that devil will try so hard, Lord, to segregate and tell a person they're not important. They're not a part of the family. They may as well quit. God, I'm asking you that your Holy Spirit would visit, Lord. Lord, would you come down in your own way, Lord, and come into their heart afresh now, Lord. Oh, God, burn away that depressing spirit, Lord. Bring the light into their heart now. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have need of us to pray, Brother Tony, and the music, go ahead and come forward. If you need someone to pray with you, I want to pray with you. And Brother Tony wants to pray with you. You don't have to. You can pray right where you're at. But if you need some help, won't you come forward?
It's a lying spirit. And don't you ever listen to that spirit ever again, because that devil will try to, he will try to seclude you. He'll try to close you in where you're all alone. He's trying hard. But you resist that devil tonight. We're going to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And you know this whole service, I have struggled and plowed, tried to get through, Lord, because I could feel the resistance, Lord, all through the service, God. But Lord, I know without a doubt, Lord, this spirit, Lord, is trying to overtake her mind, God. Lord, he's trying to bind her and close her up. He's closing the walls in, God. Lord, I'm trying to tell her you may as well quit. The darkness is too dark, God. But Lord, we know that there is light in the evening time, Lord. I'm asking if you'll touch this sister with the love of God, Lord, that you will burn away that old sickness. Satan, you have no authority here. I command you through the blood of Jesus Christ to let her go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, set her free, O God. Lord, I ask you to break every chain that's trying to bind her, oh God. Lord, the devil of fear, Lord, is trying to make her be so afraid, make her be so nervous all the time, God. We rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I ask you that the God of peace would come, Lord, that you would burn into her heart, Lord, and melt away all unbelief, Lord. As the family of God, we bond together here now, Lord. I'm asking you that a perfect love would come into her heart, Lord. Give her a fresh sense of direction in her walk with you, Lord. A fresh commitment in her walk with you, Lord God. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would guide her. Give her leadership, Lord. I commit her to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we bind every spirit that's trying to bind her right now, Lord. Set her free from everything that is unlike you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We say that you are a holy God. Lord, and your word says that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, you'll break every chain in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we love you tonight, Lord. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. Lord, I testify tonight your blood is worthy. Lord, I testify tonight, Lord, that you will cast out spirits, Lord. You will cast them things back to hell, Lord, where they go from, Lord. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you'll come now, Lord, and as she pushes forward by faith, Lord, and rebuke that spirit, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen to me, sister. That spirit will try to come back. But whenever he comes there, you use the word on it, and you look at what the word says. You look strictly at the word. The word says that by his stripes I'm healed. I've accepted his blood. His blood is worthy. God does not even look at me. God looks at that blood. And because that blood is worthy, you are worthy. And don't ever put your confidence in what you can do, how you feel, because I promise you that devil will come even tonight. He'll come at you and he'll say it was just an emotion, it was just a feeling. Don't look at those feelings. Don't listen to those thoughts. You look at what the word says. He says, by his stripes I am healed. By his word says I am worthy. His word says I can be free. His word says he is the God of peace. You remind him of his promises. You say, God, you're the same yesterday, day, and forever. Surround your mind with that, with hymns, and you create that atmosphere, and don't let him come back. And remember, you can come back. We'll pray again. Amen? God bless you. anybody else needs praying, you're welcome to come forward. Someone could be drawn to something they know is going to destroy their life, but yet there's a pulling power. It's a seducing power.
That's right.
And I just wanted to say that to you because that's the way Satan works. You can be going through all kinds of blessings in your life, just like Brother Daniel was talking there. And these blessings, you can have them, and he can make you desensitized to them where you think nothing is good in your life.
That's right.
And yet you're blessed left and right. And I just want to challenge you, just turn and look outside the message at families and at homes and at people who do not have the word as their guide. Look at the strife in their homes and in their lives. And then you'll realize just how blessed we really are to have a tie post that will hold us. We do a great job at being ourselves as long as we're being ourselves. That's really all God wants to do. He wants you to be what He's made you to be. No one can fill your position. But as long as you're being what God calls you to be, nobody can move you.
That's right.
It's when we get drawn from Satan by seduction or whatever to try and go and be and do something that's out of the will of God for our lives. That's when we meet defeat. That's when we come to all kinds of heartache and all kinds of scars and things like that. But as long as we're in that position where we belong, nobody can move him, even Satan. He can try, but he can't do anything but to do that. And so, you know, God will come down and fellowship with us. Brother Daniel kept emphasizing, what about us that God would come down? And he answered that question. Because we're made in the image of God.
Yes.
And when God created all these things, when he finally got to man, that's where he said it's very good. Because we're made in his image. The horse is not made in the image of God. All the other animals aren't made in the image of God. But we're made in the image of God. And there's a part of God in us. And God fellowships with his own nature. But
And Satan comes along and draws us away to pull us away from that nature, because that nature is joy, that nature is happiness, that nature loves, that nature can have the joy of the Lord in their lives even when things around them is crashing. But Satan pulls us away after all these other things and to pull us away from that nature, and that's when we begin to come down into those things. Amen. Brother Daniel was talking about, I forget how he was wording it, but it caused me to think that if we as ministers, if we're up on the mountain and we're reaching down and pulling you, and our whole job is to pull you to the top of the mountain, if we come halfway down that mountain, we'll say, well, we'll come halfway down, like lowering the bar. If we come halfway down the mountain to make it easier for you, and then we pull you, and we're successful at pulling you up to where we are, but we're not on the mountain.
That's right.
Not on top.
That's right.
See, we have to stay where that word is correct and right.
Yes, sir.
And we have to call and inspire and draw to that place. We can't compromise. You don't want us to. You want us to stay up there where that word is true. And so if we do that, then obviously then we'll be pulling you into the right direction and the right thing. And so really appreciate what Brother Daniel has to say tonight. Now, the Lord started dealing with me today about, you know, what to minister next. And I'm like, well, it goes right wrong with it. So I know what's on the Lord's mind right now. Amen. So I was just listening to a sermon this morning, and God started speaking to me out of that sermon. So we appreciate that. We're just glad to have Brother Daniel minister to us tonight. Amen. Those blessings that we have around us, so many, we become desensitized to it. Amen. And we are blessed.
Amen.
So we'll sing this again, let you be.